Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, December 31st, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Yesterday I had a story from the Chaos Computing Congress in Berlin about hacked SD memory. Similar story today, again from the Congress in Berlin, about how ATM machines were actually hacked. In this case, and this was an actual case that was investigated in Europe, the robbers did cut holes into ATM machines and then inserted a USB stick through these holes. So these attackers already knew exactly what the internal layout of the ATM looks like and where to cut in order to access a USB port. With this USB stick, they then installed malware on the ATM that allowed them to empty the ATM of its currency. Now, they didn't make it quite that easy. Evidently, to protect themselves from any crew members going rogue, they actually had sort of a two-factor authentication system set up to access the cash in the ATM. You first had to log in using a long password that would then enable essentially an admin interface, but then they had to call another gang member who gave them then the second part of the password that actually allowed them to empty the ATM. The robbers were eventually caught with a regular video surveillance. Initially, it wasn't clear how they gained access because they were then plugging up the hole they cut in the machine, so it wasn't initially obvious that the machine had been tampered with. And last week, a Russian hacker was able to breach an FTP server that belonged to the BBC. The FTP server was used to upload materials from advertisers and from staff in the field, so it wasn't directly like an exploit where you could overwrite files on the web server, but certainly a good way into the BBC's systems. The attacker then offered the exploit for sale on December 25th. It's not clear if the exploit ever was sold or if the BBC found out about it beforehand, but either way, the problem apparently has been fixed now. Not really clear exactly what the problem was, whether it was an outdated version of the FTP server, a weak password or something the like. My personal guess would be the second, some weak password. Typically, these types of semi-public FTP servers tend to use rather simple sort of ad hoc passwords that are being set up for a particular person or a particular occasion. Of course, one of the big threats here would have been if this would have led to a defacement of the BBC's website, with it being one of the more popular websites. For example, spreading malware would certainly have been a rather big problem. And then the last item you probably have heard about, and that is yet more details about how the NSA intercepts communication, in this particular case by modifying hardware. This is a capability that has been often rumored about, whether or not manufacturers of this hardware are cooperating or not. One report indicated that it may actually happen without direct cooperation of the hardware manufacturers, and instead, the NSA is then intercepting packages before they're being delivered and modifying hardware. One of the questions that always comes up in this context is, how do you protect yourself from sophisticated attack like this? Well, there are a couple of things that you could do. First of all, of course, from sort of an operational security point of view, where you don't make it obvious who's actually the end user of this particular equipment. Now, this can be difficult to do. For example, you would have to order under a different name, which is difficult if you want to pay electronically via a credit card or via a bank transfer, which is commonly done by companies. For companies in particular, of course, this may be difficult to pull off, to use a different company's name to actually order the equipment, but this certainly could be done. Secondly, if you do have equipment like this, there's probably not much you can do just by looking or inspecting the equipment. For example, the modification may just be a special firmware. Probably the best thing you can do after receiving new equipment is installing, first of all, your operating system and everything from scratch and flashing firmware. Now, some of these modifications are said to be robust against reflashing, but some of them are not, and it's certainly a good thing to do. But then again, you have to make sure that you actually do flash from a validated source, because that source could also have been tampered with. Short, well, there isn't really much you can do. Network monitoring is probably your best bet if you are able to actually detect these data flows. These kind of covert channels is something we talk a bit about in, for example, our intrusion detection class in SEC 503. And what I usually point out there is, in order for any of these techniques to work, what you really need to know is what's normal on your network. So it's always important to keep an eye on the network and have a good baseline as to what traffic to inspect, so any covert channel will actually stick out. Well, that's it for today, and this is the last podcast for the year. I'm expecting to do one more podcast this week on Friday or Thursday, and there will be no podcast on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, and talk to you again on Friday.